Morning. Today's Daf in the Avodah Zarah, Samech Dalin. We're in the Samech Gimel Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud, a discussion coming up in the Gemara, a number of Amoraim getting together, and an ensuing discussion that occurs amongst these Amoraim. The Gemara is working off, just a couple of days ago, we started the fifth parak of the Masechta, and we talked about Shchar, we talked about wages. A person gets hired out to do work with the Ayin Nesach is also be Achila B'Shtia Uve Hana'a. Achila B'Shtia is anonymous. This morning we'll talk about solid Yayin Nesach, the Yayin Nesach coming in a solid form. You'll see the reason why the Gemara has to come onto that situation, but it's in Nisra Ashtia and it's in Nisra Hana'a by the Yayin Nesach, and the Mishnah says that even if you're just working to work together with the Yayin Nesach, but still the Shchar is going to be Aser. The wages are going to be prohibited. Rav Yochanan told us back on Samech Beis, it's a kenas. It's a penalty that was imposed by the Chachamim for the reason that you worked with the Yayin Nesach and because of the Chomer of Avodah Zarah and the Chomer of Yayin Nesach. So therefore the Chachamim penalized you and forbade the wages that you made in the course of doing so. With that in mind, Gemara now is going to turn to various permutations of this discussion. So, Yosef, Rav Nachman, Ve'ula, Vavimi, Bar Papi. So we had a conversation between these Amorayim, together, V'Yosef, Rabbi Chiya, Bar Ami, Gabayu. And Rabbi Chiya, Bar Ami was sitting together with them, V'Yosef, Kami, Bailahu. And they asked him the following question. Scharo, Lishbor, B'Yayin, Nesach, Mahu. Okay, so let's say you're hired to do the following. So there were barrels, and the barrels were used for Yayin Nesach, and you were asked now to destroy the barrels. Okay? It's a little bit of a catch-22. On one hand, you're working with Yayin Nesach. On the other hand, you're destroying it. Lishbor b'Yayin Nesach, if you take a look at the Rashi, Lishabir chavitz v'lishbo chesayayin. Okay, so basically what you were hired to do was destroy. To destroy Yayin Nesach. So, so what a conundrum that you were put in now. And on one hand, do you want the Yayin Nesach there? Kind of do. Meaning because if the Yayin Nesach wasn't there, you wouldn't have a job. Meaning on one hand, it provides for you an employment. On the other hand, your employment is to actually destroy it. Okay, so it's an interesting conundrum. So the Gemara points to both sides of this question. So is this an example of Rotz B'Kiyumo? Rotz B'Kiyumo is a concept that we came up earlier in the Masechta as well. It's the second time, maybe the third, but certainly the second time that we discuss this idea of Rotz B'Kiyumo. And basically means like this. Rotz B'Kiyumo is an issue which is quite frankly limited to Yayin Nesach. It could have applications to other Isuri Hana, but the Gemara says it very clearly in the context of Yayin Nesach. And basically, if I want the Yayin Nesach to exist, so that in of itself is Aser. Now, is it an Isser in the Torah? Probably not. Meaning it's probably an Isser to Rabbanan. But again, the idea is that because it is Avodah Zarah, it's connection to Avodah Zarah. So therefore, even Rotze B'Kiyumo, even just by me wanting to exist, so therefore is going to be an Isser. It could be, and again, the Gemara doesn't make this point. It could be that the Rotze B'Kiyumo Isser that the Gemara here is introducing us to for a second time, it could be that it's a function of our responsibility, our obligation to destroy Avodah Zarah. Meaning we know, the Torah says it very clearly numerous times, that when we get into Eretz Yisrael and we see the Avodah Zarah, so we have an obligation to destroy it. So in other words, we have to proactively get rid of Avodah Zarah, and so therefore if we are not getting rid of Avodah Zarah, so that smacks of the Isser of, well again, it's hard to pinpoint what exactly the Isser is, but Rotze B'Kiyumo. It's contrary to the idea of I need to destroy Avodah Zarah.
Just by definition, the fact that he asked you to destroy it, he's
bitter on
the whole thing.
We're gonna circle around that point. That's an excellent point. We're gonna come back to that. But in other words, but right now, as it is Yayin Nesach. You're asked to destroy it. So on one hand, Rotz B'Kiyumo. And again, why is there Rotz B'Kiyumo? Because you're getting a parnasa. You're gonna go home from a day's work, meaning irrespective of what you did. In other words, you're gonna go home with wages. And because Yayin Nesach was there. Again, I know your job was to destroy it, but you kind of want it, and so that you can destroy it. So that's one possibility. O Dilma, call him Ute Tifla Shaper Dami. Or the Gemara says, no, maybe the ends justify the means. Meaning you're getting rid of Tifla. Tifla, over here means something which is silly. It's a Gemara's euphemism for Avodah Zarah. You're getting rid of the Avodah Zarah, and okay, good. I know you're going to get paid for it, but Lamaisa, when all said and done, you're getting rid of the Avodah Zarah. So I'm Rav Nachman, Yishmer v'Tavala Bracha. So Rav Nachman's ruling very clear. Break the barrels in Tavala Bracha, and wonderful. That's great. And Lema Masayele, and the Gemara suggests that perhaps the following can be a support for this. And Ein Ojim Imau V'Kochavim B'Kalayim. Now, we're gonna switch topics over here. We're going to talk about the Issur of Kalayim. The Issur of Kalayim is taking various seeds, different seeds, and planting them in the same field together. So this is now the production of Kalayim, and it is Asur. It's Asur to create it. So in other words, once you take the seeds and put it into the ground, or once you do anything to the ground that will encourage the seeds to grow, so you are actively now violating the Issur in the Torah of planting of Kalayim. And sowing the seeds, or doing anything that promotes its growth. So that is an issur in the Torah. And again, similar to this idea that we just discussed regarding Avodah Zarah, not only do you not want to actively have it, but again, this idea of, and we're going to kind of borrow the idea over here, of Rotsa B'Kiyumo. In other words, what I'm not allowed to do is I'm not allowed to not only actively promote it, but maybe even just its allowance. In other words, if I just simply allow it to exist, so again, we're going to talk more about it in just a moment, this idea of even allowing it to exist may in fact be a problem. So, let's learn the braisa together. Ein ojim imo v'kochavim b'klayim. So you cannot plant together. Here, oder means like to hoe in the ground. Meaning I'm digging into the ground together with an ove kochavim in the klayim. Ava okrim imo k'dei l'ma'utei satifla. However, if let's say what I'm hired to do is to uproot it, so that would be okay because I'm destroying the Kalayim. So, seemingly a wonderful parallel. I know we're not talking about Avodah Zarah over here, but basically what are you hired to do? I was hired by a non-Jew to go into his field and to remove the Kalayim. So again, the same conundrum. Do I want the Kalayim? Well, my job is to get rid of it. But on the other hand, however, I'm getting paid to get rid of it. So do I want it? Yeah, I kind of do. Meaning the wages that I'm receiving from this activity is going to benefit me. So, the Baraisa says very clearly, you're allowed to. You're allowed to be hired in order to destroy it. Now, Savru Amani Rabbi Kiva Hidamar Amikayim B'Klayim Loke. Now, the Gemara over here works with the following logical argument. Now, before we start with the next piece of Gemara, another word of introduction. As I mentioned a moment ago, there's an Issur in Kalayim of planting the seeds. And sowing the seeds. That's clear, that's a pasuk in the Torah. What is not clear and subject to a debate amongst the Tanaim is, let's say I don't actually physically plant the seeds, let's say I don't actively physically hoe the ground. But what do? I promote its growth through a grumma manner. I don't mean grumma in the context of Shabbos, in the context of Nezikin. I just simply mean I'm promoting its growth, but not by directly doing something to the ground. Let's say, for example, I build a fence around the field, so that no one can go into the field, so that the kalayim can grow and it can grow unobstructed. This is what's called mekayim eser kalayim. Is this also going to be asur min hatara? Certainly, never a condoned activity. But is this going to be asur also? Does the Torah asur this as well? It's a machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion, as we're about to see in a moment, that mekayim eser kalayim is also an isur in the Torah. Where does it say that in the Torah? Where is the Pasuk? That's also coming up in just a moment. But that sheet is Rabbi Akiva. The Chachamim say no. The Chachamim say that the only Issur Torah is to actively work the ground. Sow the seeds or work the ground. But just to put a perimeter around the field, that is not Issur min haTorah. Okay, good. So now we learn together this Braisa, the Braisa over here of being hired to uproot the Kalayim. Who is the author of the Braisa? So let's start again. Tapa Samach Dalam and Aleph. Hamani Rabbi Kivi Damar Mekayim B'Klayim Loke D'Tanya. Hamanachish V'Mechapet B'Klayim Loke. According to the Tanakhama, only when you do something actively to the seeds, or if you actively work the ground, then and only then you're going to get Malkus. And Rabbi Kiva Amar Afa Mekayim. And Rabbi Kiva says even if you're Mekayim, you're going to get Malkus as well. My time to Rabbi Kiva Amakras Sadchal Lo Sizra Kalayim Eli Ela Zoreya. Well, if you read the pasuk in the Torah, the only thing that you really arrive at is that there's an Isser of Zriya, of sowing seeds. Mikayim minayin. How do I know that there's also going to be an issur in the Torah of just simply encouraging its growth? Tamalamar lo kalayim. So the Gemara darshens the pasuk. The pasuk does not read actually the words lo kalayim, but if you take a look at Rashi over here, tam lamer lo kalayim, kalayim da harva kadarish mi desamach kalayim da lo sarvia gabisada. Meaning Rashi says, if you look carefully at the pasukim, you'll see that the kalayim of harva, meaning there are different types of kalayim in the Torah. One is not to take different seeds and plant them in the field together, not to take different animals and mate them together. By virtue of the fact that it says lo sarvia right next to the Isser in the Torah of the kalayim of the field. So Darshina, the Gemara, Rashi quotes the Gemara Moed Katan, kalayim sadecha lo, midalok siv behemtecha lo sarvia kalayim, velo si Yisrael sadecha kalayim, shmamina sadechaim, sadecha akalayim del el, nami Darshina. What we're going to basically be doing is taking the word sadecha and kind of joining it with the word kalayim right before it. Umashman demazi akasav shlo yeh kalayim besada. So, and that means that the Torah not only is asering the planting of the seeds, but just having the kalayim in the field is going to be asur as well. Okay. That is Rashi's understanding of how we get from the pasuk to Rabbi Kiva's drasha. So, the Gemara right now is assuming that the author of the Braisa that we learned on the very bottom of the previous Amud, the top of this Amud, is authored by Rabbi Akiva. And why did the Gemara make that assumption? The Gemara is not clear about why we made that assumption. In a moment, we'll see a little bit clearer why the Gemara knows this is so. But let's assume that it's so. So, ve'ilu muta tiflashari. So, the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that not only is there an Isser of planting seeds, but there's also an Isser of just simple kiyum, just simply promoting its existence. Again, we don't know why for sure the Gemara knows that the Braisa belongs to Rabbi Akiva, but let's assume that. And the Braisa yet says that what can I do? What I can do is I can be hired in order to uproot it. So, if everything we're saying is correct, so then we have seemingly a wonderful proof for Rav Nachman. Because in an Isser that's very similar to Avodah Zarah in this regard, that as long as I subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva, and as long as there's an Isser not only to just plant the seeds, but even its allowance to exist is also going to be an Isser in the Isser in the Torah. And again, its allowance means I'm going to do something not directly to the ground, but I'm going to do something around it in order to promote its existence. This is kiyum kalayim. And according to Rabbi Kiva, it's going to be asur. And as long as we're assuming that, so then kalayim put right alongside yayin esach, they're kind of the same thing. And yet we know that when it comes to the issur of kalayim, what are you allowed to do? Hire yourself out to rip it out from the ground. So now Rav Nachman says, now we'll go back to the issur of yayin esach. What can I do? I can hire myself out to destroy yayin esach. So the Gemara says, okay, the argument is good, but the argument is built on a premise, and you know how this works. If you have an argument that's built on a premise, and you take the premise away, so you kind of lose the argument. So the Gemara says, La Mahamani Rabbanihi. So the Gemara says, well, no, the author of the Braisa is a Chachamim, not Rabbi Akiva. And according to the Chachamim, there is no Isser of Kiyum. So the Gemara says, Rabbanah Ma'iriya Okra Nafilu Kiyumei Nami Shapir Dami. So the Gemara says, and here's the Gemara's tip. The Gemara says, well, if the Braisa belonged to the Chachamim, not Rabbi Akiva, so you know that Kiyum would be Mutter as well. Ah, in other words, then the Gemara now just tipped its hat to us in terms of why the Gemara assumed previously that the Braisa belongs to Rabbi Akiva. Because imagine for a moment the Braisa belongs to the Chachamim, not Rabbi Akiva. You're allowed to do anything to the field as long as you're not directly working with the ground itself. So when the Braisa says you're allowed to destroy the Kalayim, if the author of the Braisa was a Chachamim and not Rabbi Akiva, you can do a lot more than just simply destroy the ground. You can do anything with the Kalayim in the field as long as you're not directly handling the Kalayim. Meaning, you could build a fence around the field if you held like the Chachamim. So by virtue of the fact that the only thing that the Braisa is allowing you to do is to rip out the Kalayim, so that's why we originally thought that the Braisa belonged to Rabbi Akiva, not the Chachamim. And the Gemara now is asking the question, if the Braisa belongs to the Chachamim, why are we only limited to ripping out the kalayim? So hacha b'maiskin and kigon dika'avid b'chinam. So the Rav Yehuda he damar litain lahem ma'naskinam asar. Ah, the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because you know who the author of the Braisa is, meaning we're going to leave Rabbi Akiva, and now we're going to insert another Tana who's the author of that Braisa. The author of the Braisa is Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, who we saw weeks ago within this Masechta, said that you're not allowed to give ma'naskinam, you're not allowed to give a free gift to an ove kochav. So, what you are, and the Gemara over here is giving you an akipta and the Braisa. You're not being hired to rip out the kalayim from the ground. You were simply asked. And as a favor, you go in and you rip out the kalayim. Ah, so here we go. So the author of the Brisa now is Shitas Rav Yehuda. You're not allowed to do a gratuity for an Ovi Kochavim. You're not getting paid to rip it out of the ground. You're just simply asked to do so, and you agree to do so. Now, it has to do with the Isser of Matnas Chinam. So even though now there's an Isser, according to Rav Yehuda, in the Torah of Matnas Chinam, and so therefore you shouldn't be doing it because of Matnas Chinam, but because what you are end up doing is ripping Kalim out of the ground, so therefore it's going to be Mutter. So again, it comes back to the question of the ends justifying the means, and the Gemara says that's how we're going to explain the Braisa. Rav Yehuda generally holds that it's Aser because of Matnas Chinam, and now we're saying, but it's Mutter because you're tearing it up. So the Gemara says, that's wonderful. But you know what? We have reconstructed the argument. Meaning previously we destructed the argument because we said the Braisa is not going like Rabbi Akiva. Good, says the Gemara, the Braisa doesn't go like Rabbi Akiva. That's fine. The Braisa does go like Rabbi Yehuda, as we just reconstructed. But now, with this reconstructed argument, it still works for Rav Nachman. Why? Midi Rabbi Yehuda, Nishma le Rabbi Akiva. Lav Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Asu li Tehla Amanas Chinam, Avalamut Tifla Shabri Dami, le Rabbi Akiva Nami. The Gemara says, but wonderful, but you just reconstructed the argument. If, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's an Isser Matnas Chinam, but for the purposes of destruction of the Klaim, Limeute is a Tifla, so you're saying that it's okay. So here as well. So as far as the Ayin Esach is concerned, and again, what are you doing? You're destroying the Ayin Esach. There's this concept of Avodah Zarah, of Rotz Bekiyuma is Aser. Okay, there's also a concept of Matnas Chinam. Matnas Chinam is also Aser. But if your goal is for removing it, is for eradicating it, so then you are allowed to be hired out in order for its eradication. You see that by Kalayim, even though you're violating the Isser of Matnas Chinam. So we'll just take the same idea and we'll extend it back to Yayin Nesach. Even though, is there an element of Rotz Bekiyumo? Yeah, because otherwise I won't have a job. But ultimately, sof kol sof, I'm destroying it, and so therefore we've reconstructed the argument. Okay, so point number one of the Gemara today, first discussion point, is that am I allowed to hire myself out in order to destroy Yayin Nesach? The may smack of Rotz Bekiyumo. I really want it to exist. I need it. Otherwise, I don't have a job. And the Gemara's answer is that yes. In other words, Rav Nachman said yes. Yes, you're allowed to do so. Next discussion of the. Yeah, in other words, right, correct. In other words, and the money's yours, free and clear. Okay, next discussion. Again, the entire Gemara today started with a conversation between Amarayim, right? Rav Ashi, Rav Nachman, Ula, Avimi, Bar Papi, together with Rabbi Chiya Bar Ami. So these Amarayim are sitting down, so that we just went through the first discussion point, and now we go through point number two, or question number two. How do you ask Vivikami Baile? Demei Avodas Kochavim Biyadu Vekochavim Mahu. Okay, we have discussed yesterday and the day before, both on Samach Beis and Samach Gimel, more really on Samach Beis, this idea of Tfisas Damel. When I take an Avodah Zarah, when I say I mean a Jew. When I take Avodah Zarah and exchange it for another item, and as we discussed in yesterday's daf extensively, it has to be a direct exchange, this for this, so then the item that I exchange with Avodah Zarah is going to have the status of Avodah Zarah. Okay, it's Mehayim and Menu. So it's going to have that same status. That's clear. That we know for sure. Is this also going to be true when an Ove Kochavim himself does an exchange with an Avodah Zarah? Now, I know over here, now it's going to get a little bit confusing because, Danny, now we're going to reintroduce the point you made just a little bit earlier, and that is that if he's selling his Avodah Zarah or bartering it with another non-Jew for another item, so isn't there an element of bittul in that as well? Meaning, if he's really viewing it as a deity and he's now bartering it something else, so like isn't that going to be an act of bittul? Okay, so perhaps maybe, but in other words, but right now the Gemara's question really just more focused, more pinpointed on this question of is there even a concept of tfisas kedushin of tfisas I should say not kedushin tfisas iser. Is there an exchange of Isser when an Avodah Zarah item gets bartered with another item? Is that item that it got bartered for going to take on the status of Avodah Zarah? If a Jew were to do that, the answer is absolutely. But what about a guy? Is there this Tfisas Isser when it comes to a guy? And once again, the Gemara provides both sides of this question. So, Amar Lu Rav Nachman Mustar B'Demei Avodas Kochavim Yadav Kochavim Mutarim. So Rav Nachman takes a stab at this question. Rav Nachman once again says, I think it's mutter. And why? Midahanu da asu lakame, derava baravu amalu, zilazvita komadi islachu, visu isgairu. So the Gemara over here doesn't actually give a really compelling svara, but the Gemara tells the following incident. A group of non-Jews came to Rabbi Bar Avuah and they're ready for conversion. They're ready for conversion, and before their conversion, so they have one last T to cross, one last I to dot, and that is that they had a Avodah Zarah in their possession, and if they cross over from non-Jew to Jew, if they go through with the conversion, with the Avodah Zarah in their possession, so then they're going to have a really serious problem. They're going to now be the not-so-proud owners of Avodah Zarah. And as a Jew, they get stuck because there's no opportunity for bittul. So now, as a non-Jew, right before they convert, so what do they do? So Rava Barhuna says to them, well, I'll give you the following advice. Simple advice. Sell it. Sell your Avodah Zarah, then convert, and then we're all going to be good. So my time in Mishum Dekasava Demeavelesko Chamiyavelesko Chamutar. So the Gemara says, and it must be that Rava Bar Avuah must subscribe to this position that we are now deliberating, and that is that if a non-Jew were to sell his Avodah Zarah, the item in exchange is not going to have the status of Avodah Zarah, and that must be the reason why it's okay. The Gemara says, really? So the Gemara says, okay, but, and Danny, here you are. And the Gemara says, well, maybe the argument over here is a much simpler argument. They're looking to convert. Well, one of the first hurdles of conversion is, do you believe in one God or do you believe in multiple deities? So obviously, we're not even having a conversation of conversion if the answer is, no, I still want to believe in my multiple deities. And that's Avodah Zarah. So clearly, in other words, by them converting, there is a clear interest in negating all their Avodah Zarah. So how could it be that they're going to be selling their Avodah Zarah? It has nothing to do with Tfisas Isser. It has a simple fact that they're converting, which means that they want to negate their Avodah Zarah. And before they actually convert, and while they're still non-Jews, so they are within the position to repudiate their Avodah Zarah, what we call Bittul Avodah Zarah. And once they're the Mavatal their Avodah Zarah, then of course they can sell because it doesn't have then the status of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, you're right. Okay, so that's not going to work to our favor. Elamayachah, the Gemara says, but how about the following? So let's say a Jew lent money to a non-Jew, and so it's time to pay. And he's nosha, meaning he's pushing the non-Jew, it's time to pay, I'll lend you money. So So non-Jew now needs to get his money, and so what does he do? Non-Jew needs to raise his money in order to pay back the Jew. So what does he do? He sells his Avodah Zarah. So he's selling his Avodah Zarah in order to raise the necessary funds in order to pay back the Jew. And the Braisa says very clearly, mutter. The Jew now could take the money and that money would be mutter. Even though, let's take into consideration, meaning the money was exchanged for Avodah Zarah. If the money were to take on the status of the Avodah Zarah, so then obviously the Jew can't take that money. That money is demei Avodah Kochavim. So it must be, in other words, you see where now where the Gemara is headed, so it must be that any time a guy were to exchange his Avodah Zarah for anything else, there is no Tfisas Isser. Now, before we conclude very safely, let's take a look at the next part of the Braisa. Ava, imam Elohim ten li ashi yemkor Avodah Kochavim, ve'avi lecha, ya'inesech, ve'avi lecha aser. If, however, the non-Jewish borrower says to his Jewish lender, look, I'm going to put the money together. It happens to be I have a little bit of Avodah Zarah in my house. It happens to be I have a little bit of Yai Nesach. I'm going to sell my Avodah Zarah. I'm going to sell my Yai Nesach, and I'll bring you the funds. So once a non-Jew clearly articulates his game plan of how he's going to raise the necessary funds to pay back the loan, now it's no good. Now you can't get paid in such a manner. So the Sefer is a little bit tricky, admittedly. Not in a moment. The next line of the Gemara is going to wonder how do we differentiate between the Reisha and the Seifa? But if for just a moment we could just zoom in on the Reisha, what do we clearly see from the Reisha? We clearly see that when he barters, sells his Avodah Zarah with any other item, the other item does not take on its status. That part's very clear. But now, of course, though, when I take a look at the Reisha, I take a look at the Seifa, what difference does it make whether he doesn't tell you how he's raising the money versus when he does tell you how he's raising the money? That, of course, is very difficult. Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa, the Gemara asks this question. Amrav Sheshet Seifa Mishum Dehavaleh Ki Rotze Bikiyumo. So the Gemara says, well, in the Seifa, it's Rotze Bikiyumo. Again, right second time today, we're discussing this concept of Rotze Bikiyumo. Do you, meaning you, mean the Jew, do you want the Avodah Zarah? Again, the conundrum is, yeah. In a roundabout way, but you do want the Avodah Zarah. You're not going to get paid back until he's selling the Avodah Zarah. So you do want it to exist in the sense that now you know you're going to get paid back because of the Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, V'chi rotze b'kiyumo b'chi ki agavna miyasa v'atanan. So the Gemara says, okay, but rotze b'kiyumo, even as an isser goes, I'm not sure if it applies in this case. Because, consider the following. Tanan we learned in the Mishnah. So let's say you have a convert and an Ovei Kochavim, meaning they're brothers, and one decided to convert. So two non-Jewish brothers, one of them converted, and Yushu Aviam, and what they did is they inherited from their father. So they inherited from their father, Ovei Kochavim. Shiyashu Aviam Ovei Kochavim, Ger Yachol Lomor Lo, Tola Ta Avodas Kochavim, V'ani Ma'os, Tola Ta Yanesach, V'ani Peiros. If, let's say, the convert says to his brother, look, alright, I know we went to different paths in life, and we're probably going to stay on our different paths in life, but unfortunately dad died, and we have an estate to divide. I'll tell you what, you take the idols, and I'll take the silverware. Okay? In other words, obviously, you know, everything will get appraised, and we'll make sure that we get an even portion, and that's fine. And the Braisa says, and that's fine. And in fact, that is fine. That would be allowed to do. Now again, this is also kind of a roundabout rotze b'kiyumo. Meaning, does the convert want the Avodah Zarah? Not personally, of course. But in other words, but he does want fair share. He wants an equitable portion of the estate. And what he's doing is he's bartering between the Avodah Zarah items and the non-Avodah Zarah items. And without the Avodah Zarah items, he doesn't have fair leverage to get his non-Avodah Zarah items. So does he want the Avodah Zarah? So, quite frankly, in a roundabout way, yeah, he kind of needs it. But again, not directly, indirectly. And the Braisa says all this is fine. It's okay. And im shebal l'rishus hager aser. However, here's where it no longer becomes fine. It no longer becomes fine if, let's say, the estate gets divided, and now the ger gets his portion of the estate, and lo and behold, in his portion of the estate, little Avodah Zarah idols. Now he can't go to his brother and say, hey, brother, do me a favor. I got this as part of the estate. I don't need it. I don't want it. Would you mind swapping this out for me for some other portion of the estate that you get a non-Avodah Zarah item? The Braisa says at this point in time that he cannot do. Okay. And Mistaber, meaning it sounds reasonable. Now you're doing a direct exchange between an Avodah Zarah item and a non-Avodah Zarah item. So that part's good, that part's clear. However, what we get in the first part of the Braisa is, as long as you are not directly handling the Avodah Zarah, you are clearly allowed to leverage Avodah Zarah against non-Avodah Zarah in order to receive non-Avodah Zarah. Let's go back to the loan. In the case of the loan, where the guy says to you, well, look, I'm going to pay you back your loan. I'm going to pay you back your money. I just have to sell the Avodah Zarah. Did the Jew do anything directly with the Avodah Zarah itself? No. So even though, yes, you want to make the argument, does the Jew want that Avodah Zarah? Sure, he wants it. Meaning, he wants in the sense that he's going to get paid with that Avodah Zarah. So he wants the Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, he's not doing anything directly with the Avodah Zarah. So just like the convert brother is allowed to collect non-Avodah Zarah from the estate, as long as he's not directly manipulating the Avodah Zarah. And so therefore, we don't call that Rotze B'Kiyumo, so shouldn't it be the same thing with the Jewish lender? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava Barula Masisim Ba'Avodah Kochavim HaMizchalakis Lefi Shivra. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we're talking about Avodah Zarah that is Mizchalak Lefi Shivra, meaning the Avodah Zarah is made up of gold or silver, and actually, you're going to be getting fair value, whether it's whole or even when whether it's broken. So in other words, the Bryce is dealing with a very specific scenario where it doesn't matter whether it's whole or whether it's in pieces. So the Gemara says that's a really difficult pshat. So the Gemara says, okay, I can hear that when the idol is made up of gold and silver. But if it's Avodah Zarah, so over here, what does that mean, Shivreha? What are broken pieces of Avodah Zarah? So when it comes to Yai Nesach. So the Gemara says, Becher Sedraini. So it's Cher Sedraini, right? Remember the earthenware that was saturated with the Yai Nesach that was made into a solid. And remember, we discussed this earlier in the Masechta, the soldiers, what they would do. It was that they would take the Cher Sedraini, and then on the battlefield, they would reconstitute it into wine, so that they're able to drink the wine. But anyway, it's a solid version of Yai Nesach. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, okay, but when all said and done, whether it can be kept whole, or whether it can be broken to pieces, it still wrote to be kiyumo, meaning if the item was stolen, if the item were lost, so then you're not going to get paid. So the Gemara says, so what difference does it make? So Allah Mara Papa Yerusha Sagir Kamar Shani Yerusha Sagir Da Akila Barabanan Gzirushama Yachzor Lakilkula. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll tell you what. We have two cases that we're looking at. One is the case of the Jewish lender, where the borrower, in order to raise funds, has to sell his Avodah Zarah. Okay, that was the first case of that brisa. Second case of the brisa is where the non-Jewish borrower tells the Jewish lender, hey, I gotta sell my Avodah Zarah. Where there the Gemara says that's unacceptable. And why is that unacceptable? So again, so we're slapping on this isser of rotzi bekiyumo. Because now the Jew knows that in order to get paid, he needs the non-Jew to sell the Avodah Zarah. So in other words, he wants the Avodah Zarah to exist as a means of him collecting his money. What we then did is we put side by side that case and the case of the convert who is inheriting his dad's estate together with his still non-Jewish brother. And under those circumstances, so we're talking where there is an allowance for the estate to get divided, even though the convert basically is going to, does he want the Avodah Zarah? Well, not personally, but he needs the Avodah Zarah to leverage in order for him to get the non-Avodah Zarah item. And that's also another example of Rotze B'Kiyumo. Does he need the Avodah Zarah? Indirectly.
Couldn't the convert actually have nullified the Avodah Zarah?
Not after conversion. Nope.
But before conversion, he could.
Yeah, correct. Which the Gemara entertained earlier. But now he's converted.
So anything, let's say the Rabbanu Shimon said, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, I want you to destroy the Asheva.
Right.
So in order to be Mekayim that mitzvah,
right,
you want it to be Rotze B'Kiyumo, you know?
Okay, I hear that. But yeah, right. Okay.
Isn't his act of conversion itself a nullification?
No. He has to actively nullify it. So the Gemara says. So now that we have these two cases side by side, so what's the difference? So the Gemara says, really, in other words, this is now Rav Papa's response. Really, there is no difference. Meaning, you're right. Meaning, if we were to really wrap our head around this concept of Rotze B'Kiyumo, if I need Avodah Zarah, even in an indirect manner, even in a manner where I'm not directly handling the Avodah Zarah, but if I need the Avodah Zarah in order for me to gain, so then no. In other words, then I'm not allowed to. In the case where I'm lending money to the non-Jew, and he doesn't tell me how he's raising the funds, so he's not telling me how he's raising the funds, so in other words, so I'm allowed to collect the money. But once he's telling me, hey, I got Avodah Zarah, I need to sell off, so now that's Rotze B'Kiyumo. That's fine. Meaning that's Rotze B'Kiyumo, and then you can't receive the funds. And in the case of the convert who converted, he knows that the only way he's receiving non-Avodah Zarah portion of the estate is because he's leveraging it against Avodah Zarah portion of the estate. That's also Rotze B'Kiyumo. And so when I take all this into consideration, really the two cases side by side should be the same. Why are we more mako by the convert? So Rav Papa says, I'll tell you why we're more mako. Because you also have to take the following sensitivity into consideration. The guy just converted. His father died. Should he be really receiving any of the Yerusha? Meaning, right. The Yerusha altogether maybe shouldn't go to him at all.
There's no Zika.
In other words, he's not related. Gershon is Gaya Kekana Noladami. Meaning part of the conversion process is that now you are not just, it's not just a machshava, meaning it's a legality. You are now disconnected from your family. You are now considered like you're born again. And so truth be told is that you are not even connected, meaning you're not even related. Maybe the argument should be that you shouldn't even be receiving any of the Yerusha. Now I know that the Braisa says you are receiving the Yerusha, but already you see that from the get-go, it's a bit of an oddity. And now let's imagine that we go over to the conference, we say to him, you know, not only are you going to be receiving any of the Yerusha, but I'll tell you what. Even if you were to receive the Yerusha, but you're not getting any. Why? Well, because there's Avodah Zarah in the Yerusha. In order for you to receive the non-Avodah portion, you have to leverage against the Avodah Zarah. Well, you can't do that. So let me get this straight, says the convert. My father died. I'm not collecting any of the money. Even the non-Avodah Zarah portion of the estate? Really? So in other words, you have to take into consideration that this is a really sensitive topic. And under these circumstances, that just simply might put him over the edge. And he might be chozer l'chulkulo. That's what the Gemara means on the bottom of the Amud. So therefore, under these circumstances, the chachamim, meaning, and again, now you see, I asked the question at the beginning of the shiur today. Rotsa b'kiyumo is an issur d'oraisa or an issur d'rabbanan. The Gemara never says. But you certainly get the sense from this Gemara over here, it's an issur d'rabbanan. Meaning, maybe it would be rotsa b'kiyumo. Meaning, again, if you think about it, of course it is. Meaning, he needs the avodah zarah as leverage for him to get the non-avodah zarah portion of the estate. But the chachamim realize that at this very tenuous moment, where if you basically say to him, no, you're not getting any of the estate, no, you're not getting even the non-avodah zarah portion of the estate, I know it's your father, I know it's your father's estate, I know you, it's money, and you have also sentimental attachment to it, but you're not getting any of it, and he's going to say, really? Okay, goodbye. So in other words, so the chacham, Rav Papa says, that was a counter consideration in this particular case, which is why the chachamim said, okay, you can take it, you can even leverage a avodah zarah. But there is a breaking point, and we saw that in the braisa. What's the breaking point? Once the estate is divided, and once he finds a avodah zarah as part of his estate, now to directly swap out a avodah zarah with non-avodah zarah, that's the break. That he can't do. We are on the very top of Samach Talam and Beis Hanina Mihachi, Ba'amad Devar Momor, Shiyir Shav on the Shadfu Asr. So, and the Braisa, the Gemara quotes on the top of the Amud, could not be any clearer. The Braisa says that when we're talking about Yerusha, no, you can't do that. When we're talking about Hishtadfus, we're talking about a partnership that's created. So a partnership that's created, so then you can't dissolve the partnership and leverage avodah zarah for non-avodah zarah, even though the division is occurring before you actually take possession. There you can't leverage out. And again, here you understand. There is no issue of sentiment, sentimental feelings he had towards his father's estate. Meaning it's only under these limited circumstances of Yerusha where the Chachamim basically said, under these circumstances, we're going to give it a pass.
Can you say the Yachsol Mekin Kulo and argue the opposite
way? Even in a partnership where he's dissolving the partnership? You could, but it's not as emotional as a father in one's father's estate. Okay. How do you also become Baile? Well, here we are now up to question number 3 amongst the Amorim that we started off with this morning. Ger Toshav Maoshi Vata Avodesko Chavim. So what is the story with the Ger Toshav? Can he be Mavata Avodazara? Okay, what is the Ger Toshav? So I'm using modern language it'll help us understand it. I've used this analogy before, but basically he's a legal alien. Legal, not illegal. So he's a legal alien, meaning he's
a green card.
A green card. Yeah, right. He has a green card. So everyone understands. I don't mean this literally, but it's just a good analogy. It really helps us understand. Meaning is the, but let me describe it in better terms. Meaning, it's a non-Jew that's going to come and live in Eretz Yisrael, and he's basically not ready for full conversion. He doesn't want to be a Ger Tzedek. He wants to be a Ger Toshav. I just want to be a resident, an alien, living in Eretz Yisrael together with the Jewish people. What could be better? And so, once he's given status of Ger Toshav, once he's given the green card, I'm saying B'derech Mashal, so now what? So now he's entitled to privileges. And one of the privileges that he receives is that now we, the Jewish people, have an obligation l'hachayoso. In other words, we have to sustain him. We have to support him. And one of the ways of support, oddly enough, is what the Torah says, is let's say, for example, we shecht an animal, the shechita doesn't go well, the animal now is a nevela, so good. So the Gemara says, take the nevela and give it to the ger. He can eat it, he's not a Jew. In other words, he's a legal alien, but he's not a Jew, so give it to the ger, and we have a mitzvah to do so. Meaning, and even if it wasn't this case of the shechita going awry, I still have a mitzvah of l'achayosa. So he's not a Jew. But at the same time, however, he left as a world of avodah zarah. Now, exactly what mitzvah says you have to subscribe to, stay tuned. We're going to see that in just a moment. But in the meantime, the Gemara's question is the following: can he be mevatel avodah zarah? Again, this goes back to what we discussed. After he becomes a ger toshav, we've discussed already this idea before that the basic dividing line is that a non-Jew can be mevatel avodah zarah, but a Jew cannot be mevatel avodah zarah. And now we have the ger toshav now I'd say somewhere in the middle, but if I were forced to put him somewhere in the spectrum, I'd put him, of course, much closer to a non-Jew than I would to a Jew. Meaning, he's not converting, he's just simply accepting upon himself. And again, what exactly he's accepting, we'll see in a moment. But in other words, I'd slide the bar a little bit closer to non-Jew, but still, he's not a non-Jew in the formal sense. So, the palach mevatel, lo palach lo mevatel. The Gemara makes the following suggestion. It's really interesting. Who could be mevatel avodah zarah? Someone who believes in it. Someone who worships it. Someone who serves it. This ger toshav doesn't serve avodah zarah. And so because of his detachment from avodah zarah in terms of service, maybe he can't be mevatel it. Or, demakol debar mine mevatel vahai bar minehu. Or the Gemara says no. Meaning, the counter argument is that he's a guy. Meaning, he's a guy, and just like he and his people have the ability to be mevatel avodah zarah, so he too, even though he basically he's a from guy, but when all said and done, bar minei, he's one of them, and therefore he could be mevatel. So, amru Rav Nachman v'samar de palach mevatel de lo palach lo mevatel. So, Rav Nachman says, the first argument speaks to me more, that a ger toshav cannot be mevatel avodah zarah, meisvei. The Gemara challenges Yisosha Matzah Avodas Kochavim B'Shuk Ashlo Batal Yado Omelo V'Kochavim U'Mevatla. So if, let's say, a Jew finds an Avodah Zarah in the market, so before he takes possession of it, he can just simply go over to an Ovi Kochavim and say, hey, do me a big favor, come here and I want you to be Mevatla this Avodah Zarah. And already earlier in the Masechta, we saw a story. Remember where they took the kid, the non-Jewish kid, and they had him be Mevatla Avodah Zarah. Fine, you can do that. Because remember, a goy can be mevatel avodah zarah, and that doesn't have to be his own. It can be somebody else's avodah zarah. It can be mevatel. Mishabatel yado, ino omer avikocham mevatel mimnei she'amru avikocham mevatel avikocham shelo v'shel chaveru. So, but once you take it into your possession, then it cannot be mevatel. And the Gemara tells us the rule that we saw back on Nun Beis, but now we get to see it again. And avikocham can be mevatel not only his own avodah zarah, but other avodah zarahs as well. Bein ovda, bein she'ein ovda. And now, the magic words of the Braisa. Whether he serves it, whether he doesn't serve it. Oh. Mm-hmm. So now, that's a tip-off, those last words of the Braisa. My ovda, my she'eno ovda. Ilema, idvi idio v'kochavim, haynu shalov v'shal chaveru. So the Gemara says, well, whether he owns it, whether he doesn't own it. That was already stated in the Braisa. El alav ovda v'kochavim. My she'eno ovda, ger toshav. Ah, so ovda neino ovda means, is he serving it or is he not serving it? Meaning, is he a practicing idolater or is he a ger toshav? And what the Bryce is telling us now is it doesn't matter. They could both be mevato the avodah zarah. Shema mina ger toshav nami mevato. So if we're right about the Bryce, so that means the ger toshav can be mevato avodah zarah. But the Gemara says, lo, the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Lo olam em l'chai dividio v'kochavim. No, they're both talking about ovdei kochavim, practicing idolaters. Udi kamar hainu shalav v'shal chaveru, reisha zev v'zela peor, v'zev v'zela markolis, seifa zela peor v'zela markolis. So the Gemara says, no, but I'll tell you what the Braisa is talking about. When the Braisa says, bein ovda, bein shalo ovda, what the Braisa means is, no, they're both practicing idolaters. That idolatry, that's nonsense. My idolatry, that's good stuff. But your idolatry over there, that's what are you doing? You're throwing stones at your avodah zarah? That's the silliest thing I've ever heard. Me, you know, I defecate to my avodah zarah. That makes perfect sense. Or the converse. So that's what the Braisa means when it says Bein Ovda, Bein Shelo Ovda. Meaning though, he's a practicing idolater, but he doesn't believe in that idolatry. Still, he's serving Avodah Zarah, and he can be Mavato, even though that happens not to be his particular cup of tea.
How could it be affected? Because it's still the idol worshipping, the idols are still there. It's being worshipped by one somebody.
No, but in other words, but again, the premise is that a goy could be Mavato Avodah Zarah. It doesn't matter even if it's not his. How does it work? I mean, that's just simply the nature of Bittul. He has that power. He has that ability. Okay. Meaning.
It's still a safe idol for somebody else, for somebody who's still.
Okay. I hear your point. I hear your point. I accept your point. But meaning, it's one of the underlying premises of this Masechta that a goy could be mevatel avodah zarah. He has that ability. Okay, so where do we stand right now? So there were a conference of Amoraim and three discussion points that came up in today's conference amongst the Amoraim. One is, what if I'm hired but to destroy Avodah Zarah? So over there, is that going to be a question of Rotzi B'Kiyumo? So Rav Nachman's ruling on that issue, very clear. It's not Rotzi B'Kiyumo, and you are, or I could say it like this. It may be Rotzi B'Kiyumo, but you're allowed to destroy it. Two, our second discussion of today is when a non-Jew swaps out, when he barters, when he sells Avodah Zarah. So the item that he received in exchange for it, is it going to be tofes the status of the Avodah Zarah? Is it the Demei Avodah Zarah? So the Gemara discusses that as well. And the answer seemingly is no. It's not tofes the Demei Avodah Zarah. And then the third discussion that we had today is Ger Toshav. Can a Ger Toshav be Mevatel Avodah Zarah? And right now the answer is he cannot, because since he's not currently practicing and serving the Avodah Zarah, and he resolved not to serve the Avodah Zarah, so therefore he no longer is afforded the ability of Bittul Avodah Zarah, and we're still in the middle of that discussion, but Rav Nachman's viewpoint is he can't be Mevatel Avodah Zarah.